Welcome to this part of Friday. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Mike Malloy. Now, let me ask you something, really. All day, yesterday and today, I think, all over the cable channels, well, the ones I look at, I don't go into that pit of filth and terror. You know what I'm talking about. But Weather Channel, MSNBC, CNN, even some CNBC, just 24/7. I mean, you know, when something like this happens, this hurricane, I guess the whole world stops. Everything stops. Well, it really doesn't. But according to these media freaks on the cable channels, it all stops. While everything was stopped, the State Department issued a report that on the oil sands pipeline, and they've signed off on it. No problem! But you didn't know that, did you? So, like I say, all day, I've been in one hurricane. And a lot of damage where I was, tremendous amount of damage, very scary, very loud, very frightening. Maybe 40 or 50 miles from where I was, there was some destruction that took people's lives. So I know that a hurricane is nothing to make light of. And this one appeared to be heading right up the east coast of the United States. I'm not going to bore you with this. Really, I'm not. But the stories that were coming out, the subway system in New York City down, 65 million people possibly exposed, mandatory evacuations, just on and on and on, you know, as the day went by. This is what television does. You know, it builds, in addition to making you forget, everything else. But the tension was building. And just... I mean, right in the middle of all this, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern time, Contessa Brewer, one of my favorite female anchors, said her goodbyes on MSNBC. And yes, she choked up. And the reason she is a favorite is because when I was doing MSNBC a lot before they realized that I was insane and didn't have a very good face for television and was liable to get on there and say, God damn it, or something. Before all that, when I used to be on MSNBC a lot, I really liked Contessa Brewer. She was a nice person. I liked her a lot. And I had read in the New York Times business section that she was leaving. Another massive screw-up by MSNBC. But anyway, I digress. In the middle of all this, Contessa said her goodbyes. And I'm not mocking her. I'm not. I like that person. But there it was, just waves of potential, I don't know, terror and destruction and death and flooding and evacuations and bells and whistles and speaking of bells, at 9 o'clock, right before the program started, I don't think any of you heard this. You hear that? That's a Hindu No. It's a Hindu temple bell that was sent to me by a friend. No, it's a Hindu temple bell. It's really cool. Where was I? The story, the big story. And what happens is media just flogs these stories. I don't know why, because they're inexpensive to do. They stick people out. They don't have to get any, except for hapless tourists, they don't have to get any expert witnesses. You know, the weather people and the FEMA guy and this woman and that man and yada, yada, yada. But you learned all kinds of stuff today, didn't you? What a storm surge is and what to take with you. And when Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, when they lecture people, they just get real pricky, don't they? I mean, just like goddamn schoolyard bullies, both of them. All right, get away from the beach. It's time to stop getting your tan. Come on. All right, we're going to shut down the subway. You know, I mean, it's like, can't you people just shut up? If people drown, if people, you know, something hard, with all this advance notice, Jesus Christ, it's been going on for a week. And the last 24 hours, you're going to say, now make sure you have water, make sure you have nappies for the baby, make sure you have, don't forget the dog food, and don't leave Granny. For God's sake, don't leave Granny. Get Granny. Again, maybe it's because of what happened in New Orleans. I don't know. I'm starting to drift into cynicism here, and I don't really want to be cynical about this. You know, a hurricane is one of the most powerful forces on Earth, if not the, well, earthquakes. But, you know, hurricanes. So you don't mess with it. I mean, you don't stand there and say, hey, I think we're down the beach and look at the big waves. That's a good way to die. So I'm not trying to get into, you know, ugly, nasty, been there, done that kind of cynicism. No. What I find, almost counterproductive though is the media. You know, I don't know. There's still aftershocks from the earthquake in the Northeast. And now this. So, yeah, there's reason to be concerned. Apparently, God is very pissed off at John Boehner, so he's going to punish the East Coast or something. I don't know. No, you know what God's pissed off? He doesn't want to see, and this is terrible, he doesn't want to see a closeted gay man run for president. He wants Rick Perry to come out, state his case, be brave, bold, and strong, because after all, God created us all, correct? I mean, if you believe that, right? Okay, that's what's going on, just in case you want to know. So, and Governor Chris Christie telling people to go home from the beach. Go home! Okay, I understand. I'm not trying to be cynical. I really am not. About the potential destruction of this massive hurricane. But, you know, all day long it's been weakening and turning away from the coast, I think, hasn't it? That's the latest I heard on MSNBC, turning away. And what happens as it approaches land, I just found this out today, the reason it made a sharp turn towards the north-northeast was because as it, this is the truth, as it went by Georgia, it sucked in a huge, I don't know how huge, a huge amount of dry air. Now, that's a fact. We have been having, I think just today, the humidity started to drift down from the North Georgia mountains again, which means that the dry air that we've had here for 2-3 days was heading towards the coast. So, okay, that makes perfect sense. It's just like, wow, I can see that. I can see how that would happen. But the hurricane sucked in, I don't know, billions of cubic miles or something of dry air from Georgia. That's what I heard today from one of those who know. And that's what weakened it, made it go from a Cat 2 to a 100-mile-an-hour storm. So, not trying to be cynical, not trying to be a jerk here. But it's just the way the cable channels handled this. It was like, all right, already we know. I mean, how many times you're going to put Jim Santori, is that his name, from the Weather Channel, how many times you can have this guy standing out there with his muscles, you know, and the real short t-shirt, you know, short arms, you know, these great big muscles on Jim Santori. I mean, how often can you do that and people say, hey, look, there's Jim Santori again? I don't know. Anyway, if you're in the path of this thing, I hope you have your flashlights and your, you know, grandma's medicine and everything and the nappies for the baby and the dog food. And now just, you know, head for high ground, I guess. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Andrew, who is very involved with Hexi Store. H-E-X-I dash S-T-O-R, Hexi Store. Well, no dash, Hexi Store. That's the provider of online backup to small to medium-sized businesses for the past 10 years. You can check these folks out, hexistore.com, H-E-X-I. S-T-O-R, hexastore.com. P.S., we also like Mike. Well, thank you. Thanks for the sponsorship, Andrew. And if you haven't checked these folks out, come on, do it. This is what sustains this business, our little talk radio program here, these small independent businesses. Check them out, Hexastore, H-E-X-I-S-T-O-R, hexastore.com. Okay? Okay. Michelle Bachman said today, did you hear about this? She was in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, which really galls me. Boy, that's where I lived in 64. That's where I lived when the Army sent me my report for your pre-induction physical notice. Out of Jacksonville Naval Air Station. Oy! But Jacksonville Beach, there she was. That was a great little town back in the mid-60s. It really was. Surfers and the hippie thing hadn't quite hit yet, not in 64. But I really liked Jack's speech back then. It was, that's just 1,000 years ago. But I digress. Anyway, Michelle Bachman was there, and she said she wouldn't rule out changes to the federal minimum wage as a way to lower the cost of doing business and to lure corporations back to the United States. Now, I'll tell you something. This woman is goddamn certifiably insane. How can anybody take her seriously for anything except going into court for a commitment hearing? Because do you know how she wants to do that? She said she would consider lowering the minimum wage in this country to equal what the minimum wage is in other countries. She said this. She said, I want to bring advisors in from labor and from manufacturers and from the service industry and financial services in my administration. I want to know what they know, because that's what we've been missing from President Obama. He has virtually no one in his cabinet with private sector experience. I want to bring people who know how to create jobs into my administration. Ah, we will be back here many times in Jacksonville. And we're going to be old friends and neighbors by the time this is all done. But God. And then there's some guy there named, or some woman named Vicky Higby, 54, of Jacksonville, says she isn't completely sold on Bachman. She said that she's committed to voting for a conservative, but that she also likes Governor Rick Perry. How'd you like to live inside Vicky Higby's head? She said, I'm here to see what she has to say. I love her, and I love her positions, but I'm not committed. She supports a lot of the positions and values that I hold dear. This is what a 54-year-old woman in Jacksonville said after listening to Michelle Bachman say, well, one of the ways I think I can get jobs back to the United States is to make the minimum wage... as if she would have the power to make the minimum wage equal in the United States to what it is in these countries where all the jobs have gone. Like where, you crazy son of a bitch? Where? Vietnam? China? The North Mariana Islands? Some, Jordan? The Serengeti Plain? The Olduvai Gorge? What the hell are you talking about? Oh, my God. And then you have Rick Perry. David Brooks, writing the New York Times this morning, is suggesting that Perry could be elected president. If that's the case, then this country, I mean, even the fact that these people are candidates and getting media coverage is an abomination. It's spitting, crapping, urinating all over the Constitution, all over every single person that ever thought he or she was fighting to defend this country. It's horrifying. Horrifying. That any part of the U.S. establishment would consider that Perry or Bachman represent real candidates for president of the United States. It's astonishing. But here is David Brooks, the anointed one. Good old Brooks, start considering a Rick Perry presidency. Yes, he is like me. Tree-hugging, love-making, pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging, hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christians. Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Andrew, whose message is go to his website, hexystore.com, provider of online backup to small and medium business, medium-sized businesses for 10 years. Hexystore.com, H-E-X-I-S-T-O-R, hexystore.com. P.S. We also like Mike. Thank you, Andrew. By the way, according to Wikipedia, probably the lowest minimum wage on Earth is $82 a year. Malachi in Saskatoon did the research for me. $82 a year. And they have a list there of minimum wage by country. I think that's Burundi. Or is it? Maybe not. Maybe it's a different one. But excuse me, $82 a year. So Michelle Bachman is right. That would bring the factories just flooding back to the United States. You know, somebody ought to take Michelle Bachman and spin her around a whole bunch of times and then turn her loose, I don't know, on I-5 at 7:30 in the morning. Good God!
Oh, I like her. I think she's really nice. I just love her. I want to hear what she has to say.
That's what people say when they, Jesus God. Liberal radio talk show host suggests Michelle Bachman should be run over in rush hour traffic. You know, I haven't enticed these right-wing bastard websites to do anything about me lately. Come on! What's wrong with you scum suckers? What do I have to do? I know what it is. All your right-wing peeps are so crazy, so out there. There's nothing I can say that would be offensive. You know? Where's all these right-wing halfwits who monitor the program? Come on, boys. God damn it. Get in gear. Will you? Please. Because every time you do, I get all these freaky, freaky emails, and I'm keeping a file, and I just love it. So, Sheila writes, what better time to do this on a Friday when the world is riveted on Hurricane Irene, the Tripoli fiasco, and Rick Perry? And what she's talking about, she sent me the story here about the State Department has signed off on the oil sands pipeline. Yeah. According to the State Department, in their final environmental impact statement made public today, it's always on a Friday, usually after 2 o'clock, huh? The pipeline that would greatly expand imports of this oil sands crude from Canada. This crap, no offense to our Canadian friends, I mean, you know, it's crap. Just like we export more crap than you people will ever export. Some of our crap is as deadly as your crap. We export cigarettes. Where was I? The U.S. State Department says this stuff won't significantly threaten water in the Great Plains or have much impact on climate change. It's going to increase the amount of carbon. Just mining, just getting or drilling or getting this slurry, this filth up. Just the act of extracting it from the earth is going to have a profoundly polluting effect into the atmosphere. I mean, this is madness. This is why it's getting time. It's getting time, folks. It's getting time. You know, when government no longer responds because it doesn't exist anymore. There is no government. It's all capitalist, corporatist thugs. We do not have a government. You do understand that. Obama is an illusion. The Democrats and the Republicans are just little toad frogs that hop around every time corporate America sticks a hot prod up their ass. We don't have a government. So what are we going to do? Maybe it's time to form one. Now, this is not the final go-ahead, you see, because the State Department can't really do that. They can just offer their little input because this is a matter of crossing international boundary. Well, it's going to be okay now. The environmental assessment offered a preview of the Obama administration's pro-pipeline arguments. It says here, in the face of efforts by environmental groups to get the U.S. to take action to reduce carbon emissions. The tar-like form of oil, think about that. They don't call it tar sands for nothing. The tar-like form of oil in the sands requires more energy to extract and process and therefore produces more greenhouse gas emissions than conventional oil, even in the extraction and refining process. Not to mention when they pump this garbage into your car or my car and off we go. Now, according to the Obama administration, at the heart of their argument in favor of this is the contention that Canada will expand strip mining and drilling for the very thick oil in Alberta, whether or not the Keystone XL pipeline to the Gulf Coast of the U.S. gets built. That's the argument. That's the argument. Here's another way of stating it. The Obama administration says, you know what? The government of Canada and the people of Canada are so stupid and thick-headed and dumb and ignorant that they're going to do this anyway. They're going to choke on their own effluvia. They're going to assist in dumping more of this garbage into the atmosphere. They're going to watch as their northern forests are decimated so this filth can be extracted, because you see, the Canadians are very stupid. They're going to do this anyway. So we've got to get to the same stupid level and build a pipeline. Now, that's what they want us to believe. I'm not suggesting the Canadians are stupid by any means. But that's the argument being put forward by the State Department. The contention that Canada will expand strip mining and drilling, whether we have this XL pipeline or not. Fifty-four more people arrested today outside the White House. It says here, some young, but many with gray hair. So far, almost 400 people have been arrested in 7 days of protests. 400 people out of 330 million. Shame on you. Shame on me. Shame on us. Shame on us. God damn it, shame on us. How much longer are we going to do this? Huh? How much longer are we going to do this? We have another chance. October 6th, 7th, 8th. Has nothing to do with the oil pipeline. By then, Obama, I'm sure, will have tried to bury the story so he can quietly sign off and reward the corporate bastards that control him even further. But come October, the first week in October, plans are being made for an occupation of Washington, D.C., and acts of civil disobedience to try to get the attention of the capitalists who now run the United States. What do you think is going to happen? Huh? The police forces, the SWAT teams, the militarized state police, the parks police, and if necessary, the infantry, the Marines, the paratroopers, they are all owned outright now by corporate America. Yes, they are. This is the national security state of the United States of America. I will guarantee you, and you'll just have to trust me on this, that the meetings that are happening right now between the capitalists, the corporatists, the Obama administration, and the policing organizations that have control of Washington, D.C., the meetings that are occurring right now are occurring because the capitalists have demanded it. Well, listen, this may fizzle like most of these demonstrations do, but just in case they get 50, 60,000 people here, here's how you're going to do it. That's what the corporatists tell the authorities in D.C. Who runs D.C.? Well, they have a mayor and they have a city council, but who runs D.C.? Who runs Washington, D.C.? That's right, the federal government. Who runs the federal government? That's right. That's right. You got it! Way to go! So the meetings are occurring right now. While the people are going to attend in protest, if attend is the right word, are taking courses on peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience, how to conduct yourself when you are arrested, what not to do, what not to have on you, what to have on you, what to expect, what not to expect. The other side is being told what kind of force will be used, what uniforms will be worn, how much force can be used, when the force can be increased and accelerated, at what point you bring out the truncheons, when do you use the piercing sound to cause these little goddamn demonstrators' eardrums to pop, when do you bring out the water cannons, when do you start smashing elbows and knees? Go for the elbows. That's real painful. Don't you know, talking about a revolution of sounds. Yes, sir. Where are people gonna rise up? Get the share. Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Wander down the lane.
Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Oh my God, not that again. Oh no. Now I get the emails from the people, the cat lovers. Oh, come on. She's just kidding! I think. This hour has been sponsored by Andrew and Hexis Store, provider of online backup to small and medium-sized businesses for 10 years. Hexistore, H-E-X-I-S-T-O-R, hexistore.com. Please go and check them out, okay? If you have a small business or you're thinking about putting one together and you want to know what's a good place to have online backup, check these people out, okay? Check them out. Do that for moi. P.S., Andrew writes, we also like Mike. Oh, thank you. All right, Andrew, thanks a lot. That's about the 34th time Andrew has sponsored. And I hope that an hour, and I hope that folks check out these small businesses. Like our friend down in Arkansas, Helen Hollers, yeah. Alice and Helen Hollers. Sure, why not? I've just got to say it. That mosquito repellent that she has. It's just, I don't think we've never gotten anything there that didn't work. And it smells good. It didn't work exactly as Alice said it. And I'm sure that Andrew would give you the same kind of service with Hexastore. But we've never gotten anything. You know what's going on now? We have listeners who now send us a little gift, $5, $10, $15 gift. It'll be from Helen Hollers. It'll be something they ordered from Alice, and it's shipped us. You got to try it. You got to try both of these. Try everything that we tell you about on these little one-hour sponsorships, because it's good for us. It's good for the small business that's doing this. And so far, the products that we have mentioned and these hour sponsorships have been excellent. So anyway, back to the the demonstrators that were arrested today. Climate change has gone too far. Keep the tar sands where they are. Some of the chants. Now, after a series of upcoming public hearings, there are going to be public hearings, I think five of them, in different parts of the country. And you know how many people attend those. I mean, locally, when these meetings occur, there will be people who still think that the earth has a chance to survive, who will show up. And in effect, be pleading the case of planet Earth. And you also know that that number in these various public hearings, if we can go on what has occurred in the past, that number will be relatively small. And even if 50,000 people showed up for these meetings, corporate America would ignore them. Now, if 1 million people showed up for the meeting, or if 50 million people woke up one morning and said, "That's enough," and just didn't go anywhere, didn't buy anything. And appointed somebody to send an email to Mr. President. "Mr. President, stick your head out the window. Hear the silence? That's because 1/6 the population of this country has said, no, we've had enough. And we're not banging drums in the street, and we're not marching, and that way your security state apparatus can't touch us. But we're going nowhere today, and we're buying nothing. We're keeping our kids home from school, our students home from university, our workers home from factories and offices, what's left of them. And we're not doing anything today." Now, see, that would work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that work? But God bless these environmentalists. God bless these people, these 376 people so far, including 54 today, who are doing what they can. Not to stop it. 376 people are not going to stop a goddamn thing, but to let you and me know what's going on. So that maybe if we ever get the courage to do it, and it does take courage. I'm not talking about courage confronting the police. You can get your head busted in a parking lot someplace. I'm just talking about the courage to actually do it. If we Americans ever get the courage to do it, then the 200-300 people that get arrested for this will not have gotten arrested in vain, right? Of course, that's what all the priests and nuns think who go down to Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia every year protesting this filthy, vile, fascist school of death, school of the Americas. And they serve real jail time. I'm not minimizing the tar sands demonstrators, but these 70 and 80-year-old nuns and priests go to jail for a year and a half, because they had the temerity to cross the line and stand on a military reservation protesting what was going on behind the fences. The State Department's environmental assessment argues that the pipeline is needed because refineries in Texas have declining supplies of heavy crude from Mexico and Venezuela. The refineries could handle more heavy crude if the pipeline brings it in from Canada. Now, where do you think this refined oil will go? To the United States? To Canada? Another point about the pipeline that has protesting of this pipeline has resulted in several hundred people being arrested, almost 400 this week in front of the White House. A proposed Canadian pipeline from these tar sands to a port on the Pacific Ocean in Canada has been hotly contested and protested in Canada. And so far it's been blocked. So these statements about, you know, from the State Department that no matter what, these tar sands are going to be developed by TransCanada Oil Company. They don't take into consideration the fact that Canadian citizens are also protesting this. Now, the problem here, and this is true in any third world country, which is what the United States is being reduced to, what attempts are being made to reduce Canada, it's no longer products that these countries produce. It's their natural resources that go for export. This is what we do in just about every country on earth that is not able to defend itself militarily, economically, or politically from the aggression of these global capitalists. We take their natural resources, and after we've done that for a while, then we export our jobs over there, wherever over there is, pay the people nothing, pay the Michelle Bachmann-style wages, and they make our crap, and then our crap comes back here, and the jobless Americans are supposed to buy the crap. But the horrible part of all this is the fact that what these oil companies are saying is that the United States no longer produces anything, so let's just keep punching holes in the ground. The fracking, blowing holes underground in order to get at natural gas. Anything to do with earthquakes? Nah, a whole different thing, Malloy. Earthquakes are tectonic plate shifting and has nothing to do with fracking. Move on. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. Yeah, but what about on the East Coast, where you don't have the tectonic plate problem that you have on the West Coast, the so-called Ring of Fire all around the Pacific? We don't have that on the East Coast. As a matter of fact, the East Coast, I mean, I live on the East Coast. I know what these huge granite mountains are like here. These are the oldest mountains, other than Australia, on Earth. Some of the oldest, sediment deposits, which is all mountains are, on Earth. Right here, the Smoky Mountains, the Appalachians. We don't have earthquakes here for a very good reason. It's not a layered strata of rocks, tectonic, you know, the Pacific plate trying to slide over the North American plate. We don't have that here. All right, what's causing? That's why the earthquake here, this little, what was it, a 5.3 or whatever, 5.7? I don't know. It really, I don't want to get into that. Are you debate again about the Richter scale? But it was felt in 22 states. And it was a relatively, I'm saying relatively, small earthquake. 22 states. Why? Because we're just a great big glob of rock. I'm exaggerating. Please don't. I can see some of you sitting down at your keyboards right now going to explain the whole geological makeup of the East Coast. Don't. Yeah, I'm dramatizing this, okay? It's just a huge rock over here. So what's causing the earthquakes here and the aftershocks? Could it be fracking? Who knows? Nobody knows. The industry responsible for this, natural gas industry, will tell you, no! Has nothing to do with that. The proposed Canadian pipeline to a port on the Pacific Ocean, rather than Texas, has been hotly protested in Canada, so far as blocked. The Canadian Environment Ministry recently estimated that greenhouse gas emissions from the oil sands will triple from 2005 to 2020. Triple. The U.S. State Department says, there's not going to be anything, you know. There won't be any increase in pollutants in the air. Who told you that? The Canadians, eh? Oh, please, what do they know? Sierra Club Executive Director Michael Bruin said in a statement today, the U.S. State Department's final report on the Keystone XL is an insult to anyone who expects government to work for the interests of the American people, end quote. Well, with all due respect, Executive Director Michael Bruin, it's rather naive and a little bit pathetic for anyone to believe that we even have a government. And the government does not work for the interests of the American people. It has not for probably four decades, maybe longer. But I mean right out in the open. It has not. So while the statement is wishful thinking or reflects something that everybody would like to believe, Mr. Executive Director of the Sierra Club, most of us who still are able to think know full well that government does not work for the interests of the American people. This government doesn't. It works for the interests of corporate America. It works for the monolithic capitalists who have turned the United States into what it is now, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I know somebody sent me an email that the International Pipefitters Union or one or two unions support the pipeline because it'll generate jobs. And a spokesperson, I don't have it in front of me, but a spokesperson for one of these unions says this is not the time to be thinking about the environment. But this is exactly the time to think about the environment. We don't have much time left to think about the environment, Mr. Pipefitters Union man. We don't. Now, the American Petroleum Institute They're the ones that have those ads on TV. Have you seen them? The woman all dressed in black, the rather skinny woman who comes out, and she has her hands folded in front of her and, medium kind of long hair, but she has that black outfit on. That's deliberate. She has the black outfit, and she tells you of all the wonderful things about all the jobs, millions of jobs being created by the industries that punch holes in the earth and extract oil and gas and coal and uranium. She works for the American Petroleum Institute is what I'm trying to get to. But there she stands. And every time I see her, I think with just a little bit of effort, her face would disappear and there'd be a death's head skull staring at me in that really chic black suit that she wears. Just a death's head skull with the long hair. I don't want to take away her hair. You know how I'm talking. You've seen these. The background is white, and she comes out. And the new one, when they're talking about fracking, where she gets on a pretend cylinder and goes deep, deep below the surface of the earth. Have you seen those? Oh, look. See, down here, we're very careful. We make sure. And besides, jobs, jobs, jobs. So that's the meme that's out there. If you want a job, you have to participate in group suicide. If you want a job, you have to destroy any possibility of future generations living. If you want a job, shut your goddamn mouth, stop whining, buck up! We're here to find oil! Everything runs on oil. Tar sands my ass. That doesn't mean anything. Get these aging hippies into the nearest paddy wagon there in front of the White House. Move them out. The pipeline would run from the oil sands of Alberta through Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and into Texas. The pipeline will cross the Oglala Aquifer, the source of water for 30% of U.S. agricultural irrigation. The section also would cross Nebraska's sand hills, where the aquifer is at or near the surface.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Gee, I almost forgot to say it because I didn't have it in front of me. I do now. This hour is sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. This message written by Maine Coyote. Here's the message. This is our 10th sponsorship. Since the chat room has now spent $1,000 for your 25-cent radio show, you now owe us about 4,000 more shows. So rev up and rant on. Your chat room loyalists are listening. 4,000 more. Jesus. Okay, well, thanks, Malloy and Skype chat rooms. Their 10th sponsorship. Well, when you figure that any given time there's about 100 people in there, I mean, big deal. What, a buck a piece? Thanks, folks. I do appreciate it. One last thing here regarding the pipeline that will cross Well, just one province in Canada, Saskatchewan, I think. Yeah, just one. And then into Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and then into Texas. Again, the pipeline crosses the Ogallala. I said it wrong, I'm sure. The Ogallala Aquifer, the source of water for 30% of U.S. agriculture irrigation. The section also would cross Nebraska's Sand Hills, where the aquifer is at or near the surface. The State Department report said that studies showed that in no case would a spill leave the entire aquifer, quote, adversely affected, end quote. There you go. The entire. There's your little modifier in there. At no case would a spill leave the entire aquifer adversely affected. 90% of it, yeah, absolutely destroyed. But that's not 100%, you left-wing hippie bastards. TransCanada, the company that wants to build the pipeline, the State Department said, will check for several years to make sure that reclamation was properly carried out in the Sand Hills. Now, what does that mean? Reclaim what? Oh, from a spill? They're going to reclaim the stuff? Like the job they did in the Gulf? Like the job they did in off the coast of Alaska? Oh, and I love this. The State Department's analyst also considered other routes that would avoid the aquifer and sand hills, but ruled them out after considering environmental conditions and costs. there is a more environmentally unfriendly to an oil pipeline area than over an aquifer that is the water source for 30% of the goddamn food we eat? Where would that be? State Department? I can't take it. I don't know about you, but I can't take it. 4,000 more shows. Don't hold your breath on that one, Skype and chat room. I'm getting to the point where it's just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Alan in Tucson sent this in his most recent book, Our Choice. Al Gore makes the following PowerPoint about tar sands oil. Quote, if a Toyota Prius fills up with a tank of gas made from Canadian tar sands oil, that Prius will assume the carbon footprint of a 10-mile-a-gallon Hummer H2. But Al, the U.S. State Department, says, nah, that's not going to happen. Nah. Let me do that one more time in case you missed it. According to Al Gore, you know, who believes Al Gore, right? Every time it snows, it makes him a liar, doesn't it? If a Toyota Prius fills up with a tank of gas made from Canadian tar sands oil, that Prius will then assume the carbon footprint of a 10-mile-per-gallon Hummer H2. From Alan in Tucson. Thanks, Alan. What did I read today? 17 nuclear reactors were... There were only two nuclear reactors shut down when we had the earthquake the other day, but 17 kept right on pumping. And I don't know if that's good news or bad news. Oh well, we'll be right back.
Off this mortal coil and trade your blood for oil.
Malloy.
25 before the hour. One last thing on the pipeline, and then I'm going to try to move on. There's no point, really, in my sitting here talking about this particular issue, is there, folks? Because we know what the final outcome is going to be where it concerns the permitting of this transcontinental sewer, and we also know what the outcome of that will be when the spills occur. Now, Susan and Squim sent me an email and quotes an article from Grist, the online publication. TransCanada predicts no more than one spill every 7 years. So they even predict spills, but hold on. Instead of one spill every 7 years, oil has spilled 11 times in the last year. Whoops. A May 7th spill in North Dakota, 500 barrels, which sent a geyser of oil spurting 60 feet into the air, was expected to shut the pipeline for a week. The spill apparently occurred as a result of a valve failure at a pumping station. TransCanada's response to that? Oil spills at pumping stations don't count in the one spill every 7 years estimate. They don't count! Son of a bitch, really? Here's some more at... wait a minute, can I get this up? I can't get... come here, where is it? There it is. Okay. These are spills in the past year. May 21st, 2010. June 23rd, 2010. August 10th, 2010. August 19th, 2010. January 5th, 2011. January 31st, 2011. February 3rd, 2011. February 23rd, 2011. March 8th, 2011. March 16th, 2011. And then May 2011. So, I mean, what is the U.S. State Department? What is President, liberal, progressive, hope change man Barack Obama talking about then when they're talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to permit this, of course. You have to understand something. And I hope that just 100% of the population of the country would understand this now. We don't have a government anymore. Barack Obama is a figurehead, as was Bush, as was Cheney, as was Clinton, as was Herbert Walker Bush, as was Reagan. How's come we can't? I guess that's too shocking. It's too scary. What? We don't have a government? You mean we're not government of, by, and for the people? What does it take? The Supreme Court has already told you that corporations are people and have the same free speech rights. One of the candidates wants to be the president, Mitt Romney, stood there and said, of course corporations are people. What do you think they are? Filings somewhere in a courthouse? No! Why does nobody get this? Except a handful of us. You know, a few thousand, a few, all right, 10,000, 20, I don't know what the number is. But why doesn't anyone get this? That when, you know, the decision's already been made. The decision was made years ago. You want a pipeline out of one province across another one and then across five states in the United States? Bringing the most toxic crap you could possibly imagine. Sure, you got it. But we have to pretend. Now, there's already two pipe. This company, TransCanada, is already delivering oil to a refinery in Illinois and one in Oklahoma. And the one in Illinois is the one, that pipeline is the one that generated the spill in Montana, I believe. So when they tell you that nothing's going to happen, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Seriously, what are we supposed to do? Come on. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to sit back and say, oh, yeah, well, that won't happen? The Grist article headline, Keystone Pipeline spilled tar sands oil 11 times in the past year. Do we really want to supersize it? But you see, Barack Obama doesn't have a goddamn thing to say about this, and neither does Hillary Clinton. They are the President of the United States and the Secretary of State, and they have no more say about this than they do about what some family in Burundi is going to have for dinner tomorrow night. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nothing. This decision was made a long time ago. But we go through this, you see, and the protests in front of the White House are, trust me on this, not designed to stop this thing, because it is not stoppable. It's designed to let people like you and me know what this is about. Now, be honest, until you heard about the tar sands, now, not all of you, I know some of you did, but until you heard about the protests, did you know anything about this? I didn't. I certainly didn't. I might have gotten a couple of emails over the past year. And I have. I do remember a couple, especially when the pumping station blew in Montana. A couple of our listeners in Montana sent me an email. I went, oh, yeah, the pumping station. Okay. Never making the connection until these demonstrations began. So the demonstrations, all these hundreds of people being arrested, they're not being arrested to stop this, because it's not going to stop. They're being arrested so that you and I know what we're up against. And then we got to make a decision, right? Don't we have to make a decision? We got to make a decision. Oh, God. Don't you hate decisions? We've got to make a decision as to how much more of this we are going to put up with before we finally rebel. Did I mention this hour is sponsored by the Molloy and Skype chat rooms? This message is written by Maine Coyote. The message is, this is our 10th sponsorship since the chat room has now spent $1,000 for your for your 25-cent radio show. You owe us 4,000 more programs! These people are merciless. I swear to God, they're merciless. So rev up and ran on. Your chat room, the loyalists are listening. And bless your hearts for doing it. Thanks a lot, guys and girls. I appreciate it. 10 times they've done this. Jesus, Kathy. Some people just never learn, do they? What if they knew that we took their $100 and went out and blew it on dinner? Huh? I'll never tell them. after this next break, Kathy's going to open the lines right now. After this next break, we're going to do podcast trivia. So if you want to get a free one-year subscription to podcast downloads of this program in your email every day, then call in now, 877-996-2556, 877-996-2556. And if you can answer the trivia question that I'll be asking, you'll get a one-year subscription, commercial-free, by the way, of Molloy Program podcast downloads. All yours. Retail value of $56.40. It is difficult, isn't it? I mean, when you stop and think of what's being put at risk over and over and over and over again, not just this Keystone XL pipeline, but just, I mean, it never stops. Do you ever get that sense of impotence, of total learned helplessness? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be learning that there's nothing we can do. We can't do anything about factories being stripped bare and the machinery shipped overseas to be rebuilt in China or India or Vietnam. We can't do anything about that. We can't do anything about the jobs leaving. We can't do anything about the banking industry just raping and pillaging this entire society. We can't do anything about it. Because if we do anything about it, if we do anything really effective, then we'll probably go to jail, because the people doing this understand that there is nothing we can do. What are we going to do? Vote people out of office? Oh, that's funny. So what does that leave? What does that leave? It leaves acts of violence. And capitalist America understands that we're not, you know, we're not that way. We're not Egyptians. We are not people in Sudan. We are not, you know, we're Americans. We don't take to the streets and do violence. Oh, every once in a while you see, you know, those anarchists. Oh, there they go again, all dressed up in black. Look at that. They're smashing the McDonald's window. Oh, shame, shame. But we don't do violence, do we? We just don't do violence. No, we don't. I spent 10 years listening to these half-ass jerkwads running around the woods in Michigan about, we got to get ready because Bill Clinton's a communist. Dumb bastards. And never, ever, 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 ever did anything that even remotely resembled resistance against tyranny in this country. The tyranny is not coming from the government, you jerks. The tyranny is coming from the capitalists, from the corporatists. Can you not see that?
Saddam Hussein, oh please don't get me wrong. If it's freeing the Iraqi people you're after, then why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer.
Trivia, where you can win a one-year subscription to the Molloy Show podcast downloads if you get the right answer. Let's go right to it. Ted, near Baltimore, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Ted.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You ready to do this?
Sure, why not?
Okay, here we go. Since last Saturday, demonstrators have gathered in front of the White House to exercise their constitutional rights guaranteeing freedom of speech, the right to peacefully assemble, and the petitioning for the government for redress of grievances. For doing this, hundreds of people have been arrested. What were the demonstrators protesting? A, the bombing of Libya. B, the U.S. bombing of Afghanistan. C, the U.S. bombing of Somalia. D, the U.S. bombing of Pakistan. Or E, a 1,700-mile-long pipeline that would transport the dirtiest oil on Earth from Alberta, Canada, to Texas?
I think I'd go with E.
I think you would, too. All right, Ted. You win. See, what made that so easy was the fact that I, you know, when I wrote this earlier today, I didn't know I was going to be talking so much about this tonight. But, you know, it could have been A, B, C, or D, too. I mean, you know, but that's the way it goes. You won a fair and square. And before we hang up, I'll put you on hold and Kathy will get the pertinent information. Now, you wanted to make a comment about refineries, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, I got a real chuckle out of the State Department's excuse for this excess refining capacity that we have, when over the last 2 years, one of the biggest rationales for the increase in price of gasoline was our lack of refining capacity.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't noticed that until you just pointed it out. But this is like three-card Monty. This is like the shell game. You know, it's just unbelievable. And, of course, most of us are so busy trying to figure out how we're going to exist for the next 4 or 5 years, we don't pay any attention to this stuff. It just blows right by us. All right, well, thanks, Ted. Let me put
Take care, Mike.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll put you on hold, and Kathy will handle everything. And this hour has been sponsored by, wait for it, the Molloy and Skype chat rooms. And the message here was written by Maine Coyote. That's her name, Maine Coyote. Here's the message. This is our 10th sponsorship. Since the chat room has now spent $1,000 for your 25-cent radio show, you now owe us about 4,000 more shows. So rev up and rant on. Your chat room loyalists are listening. Okay. Thanks, everybody, especially in the chat room. Those are very kind. Especially any place. I say especially in the chat room because, you know, it takes 100 people to raise $100 in there. But that's okay. You know, it pays some of the bills. Thanks, everybody. As far as reclamation, where TransCanada says they'll have no problem with reclamation, where it concerns the sand hills of Nebraska, what they're talking about, and Michael and Roswell sent this to me, reclamation in this context means that they'll return the sand hills area to its original condition after construction. See, you learn something all the time. Has nothing to do with reclaiming the land after the oil spill. It's after construction. And Michael writes, that has nothing to do with what happens if the damn thing starts to leak later. Moreover, monitoring for the first few years just means that they'll be looking for construction errors. The chances for damage come later when the acidic bitumen in this stuff starts eroding the steel and the joint materials. Oh. You know this is a disaster that's going to happen. You know it. And you know, just what Susan sent from Grist, that they've already had 11 spills in the past 12 months. But TransCanada says, well, those don't count because they occurred at pumping stations. I'll be damned. I'll be damned. I just read something. I don't know why I read it. Maybe it was in the context of this about the sand hills. In Nebraska, of all places, you have sand dunes. Nebraska? Sand dunes. And it apparently is from the erosion of, is it the Rocky Mountains? Just the steady erosion and the stuff gets blown east. Sand dunes. I didn't know that. I've driven right over them, I think. Yeah, I've been to Nebraska several times. Had no idea. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We have our top of the hour break coming up here, and when we come back, we will we'll take some phone calls. I've just got so many things here that I wanted to get into the mix, but it's going to have to wait. A couple of emails I want to share with you. Oh, by the way, from tvnewslies.org. Now, I'll do that when we come back, too, because something here about Fukushima and also about, also from TV News Lies, a town hall meeting in Ohio, one of the suburbs of Cincinnati. Steve Chabot. Chabot, is that how you pronounce his name? Chabot? Republican. What happened there? And one or two other quick items, and then to your phones, your phone calls. If you want to call in, 877-996-2556. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Show, Hour 3. This hour is sponsored by... Well, let me put it this way. It's a happy birthday message. Happy birthday, honey, from Papio and Emily. So Papio and Emily sponsor. There you go. Happy birthday, honey, from Papio and Emily. Papio and Emily, thank you for the sponsorship. It doesn't say what birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear honey. From Papio and Emily. I could do singing telegrams too, right? From TV News Lies, the Fukushima cesium leaks equaled 168 Hiroshimas. Now, not the blast, not the shockwave, not the fires, the radiation. Government nuclear experts, however, said the World War II bomb blast and the accidental reactor meltdown at Fukushima, which has seen ongoing radiation leaks, but no deaths so far, were beyond comparison. The amount of cesium-137 released since the three reactors were crippled by the March 11 quake and tsunami has been estimated at 15,000 terabecquerels. The Tokyo Shimbun reported, quoting a government calculation, that compares with the 89 terabecquerels released by Little Boy, the uranium bomb the United States dropped on the Japanese city of Hiroshima in the final days of World War II. An editorial comment added, I think, by Jesse at TV News Lies, it says, Americans do not know that there is still a problem in Japan. That is why the recent polls asking people how they feel about the Indian Point nuclear power plant do not reflect reality. As usual, if the people knew, they would feel differently from what they do about so many subjects. This is one example as to why the American establishment media is our worst enemy. This is at TVNewsLies.org. I think I have another one. Yeah, here. This is about the Ohio Representative Steve Chabot. Monday night, this past Monday, at a so-called town hall meeting in North Avondale, Ohio, featuring Representative Steve Chabot, video cameras owned by two Democratic activists were seized by a Cincinnati police officer at the direction of Chabot's staff. A Chabot spokesman said they had the cameras seized, quote, to protect the privacy of constituents, end quote, at the event. Oh, really? Although there were at least two media outlets at the North Avondale Rec Center filming the meeting. You know, two TV stations were there. So they take the cameras away from these two Democrats to protect the privacy of constituents. Chabot spokesman, yeah, okay. Now, here's Jesse's comment, or Reg's, I'm not sure which one. It says, it is funny how Republicans have no problem with cameras all over the place invading our privacy. Traffic cameras, security cameras, recording every phone call anyone ever makes to any customer support center for any company or institution. They're just fine. All those cameras are just fine with the Republicans. But if you want to document what a Republican politician says, forget it. If you want to record cops overstepping their authority, forget it. Republican hypocrisy has no limits. That's because Republicans are not really human. They used to be human, but they are now devoid of any kind of capacity to think or make any kind of decision. They have been sucked dry. John, in New York. Mike, I'm the latest reluctant recruit in the ever-growing army of the unemployed. The company I worked for went bust. We found out just today, and we had to pack up our personal things and be out before 2 p.m. Since they went bust to Chapter 7, I got paid but will not get any severance or a COBRA option for health insurance. I couldn't afford the COBRA anyway, so no loss. I worked for a company that was bought out by this one. I survived several waves of layoffs and altogether spent 31 years and 51 weeks at this job. I have worked with some wonderful people and will miss them all very much. It will probably hit me Monday morning when I wake up and I don't have to go to work. One thing I'm trying to keep in mind, I'm alive. Everything else is negotiable. Well, I hope. John in New York. Maybe it's just because I've got the email here in my hand, but can you hear the shock in John's, quote, voice, end quote? I can. 31 years and 51 weeks. And what does that mean in terms of worker loyalty or company loyalty? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing. Means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Stay in touch, John. What else have I got here? We're going to take your phone calls in just a minute, but what is this thing about? They found a photo album in Muammar Gaddafi's private quarters. It was full of pictures of Condoleezza Rice. Did you hear about this? In 2007, Gaddafi told Al Jazeera Television, "I support my darling black African woman. I admire and am very proud of the way she leans back and gives orders to the Arab leaders. Liza. I love her very much. I admire her and I'm proud of her because she's a black woman of African origin." He gave her a bunch of gifts when she visited Gaddafi in Tripoli in 2008. They had a private dinner. During which a State Department report indicates this is probably another one of those WikiLeaks. The Libyan leader gave her an estimated $200,000 worth of gifts, including a diamond ring in a wooden box, a lute, and an accompanying DVD, and a locket with Gaddafi's own picture inside. Also included among the gifts, Wonder Woman-esque wristbands and an autographed copy of his Revolutionary Green Book. That's according to the New York Times. Now, of course, public officials are not allowed to accept these kinds of gifts, so it was probably turned over to the government or something. She responded by giving Gaddafi a plate with the U.S. seal on it. Liza. I wonder if Miss Rice's girlfriend was upset by that. Probably not. Probably not at all. It just comes with the territory. Oh, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, for heaven's sake. We have another break? Okay. All right, let's do the break. We'll come back. Just a couple more things here, and then onward to your phone calls. Stay with us.
All the day and night time. Hear me, son, I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you cool? Could you care? Could share the world apart, my mush, 'cause I got a crush, my baby, on you.
like that?
Kind of don't ever stop.
From William. Just a couple of facts. Mike, pretty sure you knew these, but just in case. According to EnergyBulletin.net, the U.S. Department of Defense is the largest oil-consuming government body in the United States and in the world. No wonder this country's military keeps going to war for oil. It needs oil to sustain itself so that it can engage in war for more oil to sustain itself. So it can engage in war for more oil to sustain itself. And second, religion thrives where people have to deal with a lot of social and economic uncertainty, while the inverse is also true. Reporting on the 2007 study by Phil Zuckerman entitled Atheism, Contemporary Numbers and Patterns, this: societies with adequate food distribution, good public health care, and accessible housing generally show a waning of religiosity, while societies where there is inadequate food and shelter and life is less secure show much higher levels of religious belief, end quote. So no wonder there's such a strong correlation between the religious fundamentalists and the teabag libertarian cut government spending bastards. I am a podcast subscriber, and I love yours and Kathy's work, but listening to you makes it difficult to go back to listening to the radio liberals I used to listen to before I first caught your show on Seattle's AM 1090 KPTK. Yeah, I think somewhere back there, William, I did know, but it's one of those items that just floats away into the gray matter, that the Department of Defense is the largest consumer of oil, petroleum on Earth. The U.S. Department of Defense. That speaks volumes, doesn't it, Truth Seekers, huh? Happy birthday to Honey. Papillo and Emily are wishing Honey a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Honey. Our sponsor this hour. Then there's this. An Indiana Republican state lawmaker is saying no to calls that he should resign after he got involved in a sex scandal with a male prostitute. According to the Indianapolis Star, this guy keeps saying, "I'm not gay! I'm not gay!" The Indianapolis Star reported that emails suggest Republican Representative Philip Hinkle arranged to pay Cameron Gibson, a male prostitute, up to $140 for, quote, a really good time, end quote. The paper published email, the Indianapolis Star published emails between Hinkle and Gibson detailing a plan for them to meet at a downtown Indianapolis hotel. The Star reported Hinkle didn't contest the emails but said he was, "Well, I was aware there's a shakedown taking place." Don't they always say that? You know, you miserable bastards, you are what you are. There really is nothing wrong, Mr. Hinkle, with being homosexual, except what you've been, had your head filled with, what you've been told. You know, all this crap that's been pumped into your head, that's why you're freaking out right now. In an interview with a local Indiana station, Channel 6, the Republican lawmaker said he made arrangements to meet Gibson in person, but denied any intention of pursuing a sexual encounter. The pair reportedly connected on Craigslist. The lawmaker indicated in a listing to which, or I should say, the male prostitute indicated in a listing to which Hinkle responded that he's 20 years old. According to the Star, however, the male prostitute turns out to be actually 18. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, also a Republican, called the situation a tragedy. Representative Hinkle suggested to Channel 6 that his actions were, quote, stupid, end quote, but he did not break the law. Quote, "I don't know what was going through my mind. I don't know why I did what I did," end quote. Well, I have some suggestions for you, Representative Hinkle. You are a gay man, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We all realize how you've been conned into believing that there's something terribly, terribly wrong. But the only thing wrong is the fact that, first of all, you feel like you have to sneak around and you have to deny everything and you have to be ashamed and you have to crawl and grovel when you are finally caught. This is ridiculous. This is, and I'll bet you're in favor of traditional marriages too, right, Mr. Hinkle? Representative Hinkle? I'll bet you're one of those people that would just give your eye teeth to sponsor a, you know, marriage is only between one man, one woman, no dogs, no cats, right? What a shame, Mr. Hinkle, Representative Hinkle, what a shame.
Angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Papio and Emily. And their message is Happy Birthday, Honey. From Papio and Emily. Very sweet. Thanks. Thanks, folks. What else we got? Anything? Not that can't wait. Until Monday. Jeremy is in Burlington, Vermont, listening on Sirius. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I couldn't resist. That guy you were just talking about,
yeah.
Keith Olbermann actually covered him yesterday. I caught it on replay. And in fact, he did vote to ban gay marriage in their state. And then after he was caught, came out and said, I don't have to resign because I won't be running for election next year.
So he is another self-hating gay man who, rather than take a stand and tell the greater society that they're crazier than loons to condemn people because they have to be gay, he tries to lead this double life, which everybody knows that in you suffocate in closets, you know.
Exactly.
It's a shame.
But that wasn't what I called in to talk about. Called in to talk about Dick Cheney coming out with his little book and a couple of the chapters, and one of them called They Call Me Dick, and we all say, well, of course they do. But, but the fact that he pretty much came out and said that he is the man behind the presidency and that Bush really didn't have anything to do with it, and then sandbagged everyone around him.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to buy the book?
I wouldn't burn the book as well as buy it. I would rather honestly probably not want to really know, because it just basically will confirm everything of my worst nightmares of that man.
Really? He ought to be, yeah, he ought to be in either, he ought to be on trial someplace and then in prison.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think Keith Olbermann said the other night. He said now, actually it was Tom Hartman, sir. He said this book should be added right to the repertoire for them when they're put on trial now.
Well, you know, I got somebody sent me another Dick Cheney book today that he wrote. It's an unofficial biography, or is it autobiography? And I don't have it right in front of me. I just got it at the post office today, and I think Monday I'll have it on the air and tell you how you can get it. But it's the unauthorized autobiography, which means allegedly it's written by Dick Cheney, but Or is it a biography? But I've read a little bit of it on the way home today. Kathy was driving. I was reading some of it, and it's pretty funny. So,
say the only good news about Dick Cheney is he's looking like he might be short on life from his last video. He definitely looks like the devil.
He does.
He's real skinny and sickly looking.
He doesn't have a heart anymore. You know, he's got that pump.
He has. Have one to start with.
Well, I don't know. He had something in there, but. Now all it is a flow meter, I guess. It just, you know, it sounds like, I'm sure it sounds like, you know, when you get up in the middle of the night to pee, maybe you don't do that, but I do. And, you know, you flush the commode and you walk back to the bed and you keep waiting for the tank to fill. And because if it doesn't, you're going to have to go back in there and jiggle the handle, right? So you're waiting for the tank to fill and it's just this. That doesn't happen to you, does it?
Oh, actually, it does. It's not that young.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right. Take care.
I still just... The joke just writes itself. Cheney has no pulse. Cheney has no pulse.
Right. He does not. He has no heartbeat. Consequently, no pulse. That's pretty scary. Simon is in Colorado. Hello, Simon.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
Man, I'm doing cool, man. Everything's safe. I called to talk about something, but you just threw me up with that Condoleezza thing. Is that true? Or you were just joking?
Huh?
You just threw me up with that Condoleezza thing, her girlfriend. Is
oh, no,
true?
No, no, no. That was in, that was in New York Times. It was on CNN. It's for real. It's for real. Yeah, he had a real, he had a thing going on for Condoleezza.
No, 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 no. I ain't talking about, Gaddafi. When you said, I wonder how a woman takes it. You know, I'm talking about the girl. Is she really, you know, gay?
Oh, Condoleezza? Well,
yeah.
I have a feeling she has, a lot of people have this feeling. I mean, I don't know her from Adam's house cat, but from watching her with, I think somebody who also is a professor, her longtime companion, it's her roommate. I don't know if they were roommates while she was Secretary of State, but, you know, I just wish that people in these high positions of power, whether it's government or business or academia, who happen to be gay, if they would just say, yeah, I am, so what? It would make it so much easier, for everybody involved. It would cut down on the bigotry. It would cut down on the persecution. If folks realized that top military officers, top government officials, top educators, top entertainers, and sometimes bottom happen to be gay.
Well, you know what? Politics. But anyway, what I really come to talk to you about is that I'm a truck driver, and I stop, a lot of them truck stop. And whenever they see me as a black man, most of these guys think I'm a spokesperson for Obama, and that's when rhetoric starts, their conversation starts.
Right, of course.
So, I would sit on there, and I would just listen to them just blab about a bunch of stuff. And there's a point when one of them say, yeah, we're losing the country, we're losing the country. I just couldn't take it no more.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, you're damn right you're losing your country. Because you guys are a bunch of misinformed people who talks about things that don't put nothing in your pocket, that doesn't help you know one way or the other in life.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about, you sit there and talk about gays and lesbians, you talk about abortion, and you talk about community. Dude, how is that helping you? Why don't you sit down and talk about the gas price? Why don't you sit down and talk about what these people are doing? You're listening to information from people who's making $400 million a year, rich people who's making all this money. Meanwhile, you live in an apartment, you're trying to make an ends meet, you're on the road all the time. I mean, you guys are complaining about the right things, and you just listen to a bunch of misinformed people. I mean, you're just a bunch of misinformed people, and that's the reason why you're losing your country, because people coming from other country who can't even make $2 a month, but coming to own a business in your country. Meanwhile, you here working your butt off and can't even afford to even buy yourself a one truck. So that's your fault. You listening to the wrong things, and you lack of information. Lack of information, people. And that's the reason why you lose your country. Lack of education.
And what happens when you tell people this?
Hey, you know what? Most of them just walk up. Hey, I'm 6 foot three, 250 pounds. Oh. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me.
So
they just get pissed off and say, whatever. You vote for him because you're black. I say, that's the same reason why you don't vote for him.
Yeah.
And you just leave.
Well, be careful. I mean, everything you say is the truth, but be careful.
I mean, yes, I am. But you know, it's just the fact that no matter where I go, and once I'm in the office, you know. It always starts, the Obama conversation always starts up.
Right.
Always starts up. And every time it starts up, it's always things that's not even true. I mean, if you're talking about a man, talk about things that are true. Stop talking about what Pat Robinson, what Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, these guys are rich. They're wealthy.
Right.
You know? They're telling you what put money in your pocket. What put money in your pocket are you even speaking about?
People who are powerless, Simon, and realize they're powerless, and because of their ignorance will never have power, because they can't understand that you have to organize in order to get power. That's all they can talk about, those little petty things, and somebody's sexual orientation, or whether or not somebody was born in Kenya, or where's his birth certificate, or it's insane. Simon, I got to move on. Thank you, sir. Be careful. Seriously, be careful, and I hope we hear from you again. Take care. Brian is in Beverly Hills, listening on Green 960. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
I'm pretty good. How are you listening on Green 960? They're in San Francisco.
Well, I listen online or on my iPhone.
Oh, I see.
I would like to listen to KTLK, but, you know, they delay you, and I find that offensive.
Yeah, it is.
I listen to it online. Anyway, I have a kind of a somewhat rhetorical question.
I'm having a problem understanding you, Brian. Are you on a...
How about now?
Okay, that's better.
Okay. I have a slightly rhetorical question. Why is it that Barack Obama can go into Libya, even, you know, and basically break the law, you know, past the 60-day, you know, congressional... approval, and he can just basically give Congress the middle finger and go to war, and yet he can't say, well, you know, I think we should just do single-payer health care, and I'm going to implement it now, and Congress, you guys can just go, you know, take a hike, or, you know, I want to build a, you know, a bunch of solar power plants across the nation. We're going to put like 2 million people to work doing that. And Congress, you guys can go take a hike again. I don't understand that.
Well, let me put you on hold for a second, Brian, while we do a commercial, and I'll come back and try to answer. We'll be right back.
Am I blue? Ain't these tears?
For the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Papio and Emily. And they want to wish Honey a happy birthday. Thanks, folks. Happy birthday, Honey, from Papio and Emily. That's very sweet. Back to Brian in Beverly Hills. All right, where were we?
Well, I was just asking the question, how come Barack Obama has all these powers to go to war, but he doesn't have the power to do anything else? And, you know, it just seems like either you do it all or you do nothing.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way, so do most people who listen to this program. And I wish I had an answer, Brian, but I don't. But I guess it has to do with who controls Barack Obama. And as we talk a lot on this program, it's corporate control. Hey, thanks, Brian. Appreciate you checking in. Right. What else we have here? I had an email from somebody in Canada that I just wanted to... This is kind of cool. Missouri's Republican Lieutenant Governor, Peter Kinder, he showed up in a pantless bar, according to the photo published in the St. Louis Riverfront Times. The shot initially prompted a kind of an awkward non-denial from Lieutenant Governor Kinder's office. He's not married, so it's okay. The spokesman said, "I really highly doubt the lieutenant governor is going to a bar where they don't wear pants on a night when they don't wear pants." That's what his spokesman said. Now, the Riverfront Times, which runs ads for the bar, says that the bar says it this way: "Every night's a pantless party." What is this in St. Louis, Missouri? Anyway, then the spokesman. Is it a spokesman? Or no. Oh, yeah. His picture was taken with former penthouse pet Tammy Chapman, the Republican lieutenant governor. And Chapman told the Riverfront Times that Lieutenant Governor Kinder had indeed been at the pantless bar. She added that the lieutenant governor, who is the odds-on favorite to be Missouri's governor in the 2012 election, that he used to be obsessed and physically aggressive with her in the 1990s when she was a stripper. And she said that when she saw him again, that's when the photo was snapped, he asked her to live in a campaign-financed condo. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder denies all this, of course. None of it's true. But it didn't matter. It didn't much matter. The nation's latest sexless sex scandal, the most recent one, of course, was New York Democrat Anthony Weiner and the Republican Chris Lee. So this new sexless sex scandal is on. Kinder finance poll of likely voters taken a few days after the story showed Kinder picking up voter support since May. But he's still trailing the Democratic Governor Jay Nixon. But I just thought this was so interesting. A pantless bar. I thought I had heard of everything where it concerns, nightlife stuff. But a pantless bar? I mean, what does that mean? You go there with no pants on, or... I don't know, man. This is it's too much. It's just too much. It's so many times, not always. So many times, it's Republicans. Mayor Bloomberg has decided that no religious leaders will be allowed at the ceremony to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attack in Lower Manhattan. Bloomberg's office confirmed to the Wall Street Journal that there will be no religious people allowed. And, of course, as you can imagine, that's put some politicians and clergy into an absolute screaming fit. According to Huffington Post and TV News Lies, Rudy Washington, who was a former deputy mayor to Rudy Giuliani, who organized an interfaith ceremony at Yankee Stadium after right after 9/11 attacks, he told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "This is America, and to have a memorial service where there's no prayer? This appears to be insanity to me. I feel like America has lost its way." Well, I agree with you, partner, but it has nothing to do with praying to sky spooks. It has to do with what people like your former boss did. You know, you Republican scum. City Council member Fernando Cabrera, a pastor at the New Life Outreach International, a Bronx church, said he was disappointed and shocked, I tell you, by the news. And this guy, is he a Democrat? Probably. He felt that the clergy's exclusion from the ceremony was, quote, wiping out the recognition of the importance that spirituality plays on that day, end quote. No, you half-wit, it does not. It wipes out the insanity of religious garbage on that day. You want to be spiritual, Mr. Cabrera? Go ahead and take your prayer beads or whatever you do that thing with and be as spiritual as you want to. Just shut your goddamn mouth. I mean, that's all. Pray in your head. And then listen to the voices. But, you know, how can these religious freaks say that not having public displays of religiosity wipes out spirituality? It does nothing of the sort. A matter of fact, banning religious people and telling people to shut up encourages spiritual... Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter. I'll see you Monday. All right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy. I'm going
straight to hell. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Mortgage rates.